Welcome to LeagueCast. Hello and welcome to episode 601 of the LeagueCast podcast. I'm Nick Cooper. Joining me is Aiden Rockarts.
Hey, how's it going?
And Colton Sweat.
Happy Tuesday, Nick.
Happy Tuesday. Hey, on this episode, no new patrons, a little bit of LeagueCast news, new patch, and a discussion on a certain clash happening. And then we'll probably do a little bi-weekly discussion and then move into roundtable and mail fight. Aiden, how was your week?
Mike was good. I only really played arenas, I think. I don't think I played any more mid account. Maybe I did, though. I played it to like plat one last week, but I don't remember if that was at the end of last week or whatever. Either way, I'm plat like one or two or something on that account right now. And then I've been playing arenas since then. And I think arenas really fun, except when it's not.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it's really fun. And I think I really do believe that you can play like most things and have fun. And then sometimes someone just plays Volibear and Skarner, and you're like, there's zero reason to play these characters except just to not play very much and win.
And I'm like, oh. I lost when I pick Volibear, but everyone else always wins.
It's just like the less button presses your character needs, man, the more upsetting it is, I think.
Yeah.
Not to say that I haven't played Grinchit as well, but it's just sometimes I'm like, damn, this game mode's actually like probably better than League of Legends. And then other times I'm like, man, people do just want to win.
It's tough because like the modifications give so much stats that it's like similar to Earth in a way where at a certain point being good at the game doesn't really matter. Because
it matters less, obviously.
Yeah, right. Like, I think a great example that's like very popular is the crit Garen build, mm-hmm. where it's like, mm-hmm. I guess you need to not get CC'd before you flash Q, but like that's about it.
Yeah. No, for sure. Like the most skillful rounds, so those like are early game when you both have kind of like evenish comps, right? Like. But that's the fun of the game mode, right? Is getting random shit. I think the reality is, I think it will be, assuming they eventually put it into full rotation, which we know they're taking it away in 2 weeks, and they will, in my head canon at least, bring it back probably like 3 months later as a permanent game mode with a bunch more augments, a bunch more maps, a bunch more balance changes. And I think that's all it needs. I think it just needs constant new augments, constant new maps, constant new balance updates. And the reality is that it's good enough that like people will play it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think something similar to like TFT would be fine, you know.
Yeah, you have like sets or whatever of it.
Yeah, like that seems fine to me.
Yeah, they need to introduce a new prismatic augment that gets offered to you and your teammate at the same time, and it does nothing, but it brings a third person onto your team, and you just like message someone on your friends list, and they're in the game.
You have to invite them. They have to fucking accept before the four rings.
Yeah.
Or goes to voicemail.
if it happens though, you get to 3v2.
That's actually some sick. cool. Yeah, that's kind of like mostly been my week. I haven't done too much else. I've been wanting to play other games. I just haven't gotten around to it. Just been super fucking busy.
Understandable. I get that.
Yeah, I've still been playing a lot on my mid challenge account. Guys, I did it. I escaped Emerald 1 and am now Emerald 2.
Emerald 2, yeah.
It's been tough. I feel like it's weird. I feel like I've been playing better than I did and am losing more, which is not a great feeling to have. Obviously, I'm still making a lot of mistakes, and I'm starting to get better, I think, at picking more favorable matchups and like playing them appropriately. I still like know that I'm really disrespectful in the early game in certain matchups where I shouldn't be, like that causes me to die a lot early.
It is so funny because like I think you play mid and late game better than me, but dude, like I would say like every other game I'm like, oh, you just killed yourself.
Yeah.
Like, 1 through 4.
Yeah, no, I am so bad at that, and I don't know why, but like, and especially the characters I play for the most part are just like absolute useless dog shit, like 1 through 6 even. And then I just like, yeah, I can go up here and like I'll get 2 auto attacks on them, and oh nope, they just all int me and I die.
It's funny, Colton, like, so I was gonna say, like, yeah, I think it's crazy that you play, like, Vlad or, like, Anivia or Malzahar, and you, like, try to go for, like, just a little bit extra damage and kill yourself for it, but, Lol Dobby put out a new video about, Elite 500, the Vlad one trick, and his Korea climb, and, dude, that's the first Lol Dobby video in a long time where I was like, oh, I wouldn't do any of these things, usually when, like, even, like, a Zed character, I'm like, okay, I can't do that, but, like, I would know how to do that thing. But, like, this is, like, Elite 500. He'll ghost at level 2 as Vladimir to get a empowered Q.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah,
from, like,
he's,
tempo.
He's crazy. Like, I've watched, like, some of his stream. He'll ghost back to lane so he doesn't, like, lose a big wave under turret.
I've just never seen, like, dude, he just fucking, like, they're both 50% HP, and he has his, like, Q, like, fading, so he'll ghost to get it, and then, like, it's like, oh, yeah, he did that, because now he has, like, an extra, like, 200 health swing, yeah. And then he just sits in lane for another 2 minutes, and he wins the War of Attrition. It's like, mm-hmm. I would never do that ever.
it is wild how much, like, War of Attrition is the definition of Vlad's laning phase, I feel like. Like, if you can land empowered Qs, it's wild. One other thing that I do, especially if I'm in a lane that I can afford to push, is if you get the ward over Raptors and use your empowered Q on Raptors, if you can't hit it on a champion, you still get the full heal as opposed to minions is like half.
Yeah.
So that can be really, really useful. Or just like if you're in a bad way in mid and you're like half health, you can just like walk down to your wolves and Q it 3 times and then come back to lane.
Yeah, you should watch the video. It's great. He does that with wolves where he like Qs them, brings them into like his lane, Qs them 2 more times, and then mm-hmm. walks to lane. And then he has another play where he's against an Akshon. It's kind of like super niche stuff, but like once again, it's something I would never do. Where he's against Akshon, he trades, and Akshon has 2 stacks on him, so he just pulls away before Akshon procs the third. It's like I would never use pool like that, but
yeah,
yeah,
it's so sick.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah, that's another thing. Like I mean, using pool to just dodge a big ability. Or like prevent a proc from happening has been good. I feel like I should actually probably be playing more Vlad, because I feel like if I like stuck to it consistently, I could probably start doing a lot better. Also, if I like stop trying to like force things when I don't have to, because that's the biggest thing, is it's like I'll get like a lead where we're both at half, or even like I'm at 60%, they're at 50%, and if I was patient and just like let that lead play out over 2 minutes. It would end with like me at 60%, them at 30%, and if I waited another minute, I'd just get the kill. Mm-hmm. But I just force it too much. Except for one game that I do want to complain about, where I played against, I was playing Vlad, and I was against Nasus mid, who went fleet footwork and like rejuvenate and everything. He was just sitting in the minion wave, eating every auto attack EQ on cooldown, and I just couldn't get through his health bar. Like, I legitimately, like...
That's funny.
I could not get through his fucking health bar. It was so infuriating. Like, I want to maybe sometimes just, like, show you guys some of this shit that happened in lane. And it's like, he actually gets to play like that. I think we ended up winning that game. But it was very frustrating. And, like, very similar to playing against, like, Warwick mids. Or even, like, Sion's, where it's like... I just don't have the damage yet to get through all of this health, healing, or shielding.
Yeah.
And, like, I get that Nasus is not, like, crazy OP, but in moments like that, you're just like, how is this allowed? How is this balanced? I've also been playing a bunch of Fizz. That's been going pretty well. I've had some pretty hard carry games as Fizz. Also, the macro understanding of people is insane. Like wanting to go
like insanely good, insanely bad.
Insanely bad. Like I've had I had a jungler a couple games back who like came and tried to gank. I was against an Alawi mid as Fizz, which is a just awful matchup as you could probably imagine. And like he kept trying to come and gank. And then I would like not go in because I'm at a third health. And he's like, you're AFK, you're so bad. It's like, the options here are she gets 1 kill or 2 kills. Those are the only outcomes of this if we go in. Like, we just need to not do that. Mm-hmm. Or, like, I don't know. I've seen a lot of junglers, like, strong side tanks, which has been really upsetting, where it's like, oh, okay, are we gonna camp our bot lane Kai'Sa or our top lane Shen that's against, like, an Ornn? And you're just like, why would you ever camp the Shen into Ornn when you have a Kai'Sa in the bot lane?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I think ideally, if I continue not playing like an idiot, and like actually paying attention and not like running it down level two, I should be able to get back to Emerald One and again hopefully D4. I've been meaning to start doing like actual VOD reviews and like making a more concerted effort to improve instead of playing a bunch of games. So, I guess I will keep you guys posted on.
There's no promo series anymore, right?
Nope.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
No promos, no skipping.
Which, I mean, technically, if we're going number of games, I'm not allowed to play anymore until September. But
I was wondering if you're gonna notice.
No, yeah, I did. I mean, if we want to take it, I think Emerald One after about 100 games that I just haven't moved since.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. I'm very much at this point just like going to continue playing it and trying to get better. My matchup knowledge is definitely a big weak point, where there are lanes I just like play wrong or characters that I disrespect in ways that I shouldn't. But we'll see how it goes. I'm also kind of giving up on playing, I think, Malzahar and Lissandra for a little bit.
Too hard, isn't he?
Huh?
He's too hard for you.
Yeah, they're too difficult. No, I think that they're super good in environments where you CCing a carry means they would die, but I've found that not to be the case. And that's really frustrating when you're like, oh, okay, cool. Like, I've got a decent lead as Lissandra. Like, I've got all of this CC. I can set up good team fights, but we're just taking terrible fights while I'm on a reset, or like, we don't kill the Master Yi who's been CC'd for 2.5 seconds. And I'd rather just play something that can, like, carry on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Fizz has been a good example of that, where like you can just fucking kill everything without really relying as much on your team to follow up.
Fizz.
Oh yeah,
that's my Fizz impression.
Nice. That sounded just like Fizz.
Let me at him.
You want some fish?
Well, he doesn't say that.
Yeah. So that's about it for my week. Nick, what you got?
Also not very much League. I played one on my mid Smurf, absolutely popped off on the old Akshon, into a Tristana, which is really fun. She jumped on me level two, but I guess Tristana loses that level two. So it was a good game after that. And then, just a couple ARAMs and arenas with the boys. Otherwise I've started playing some Baldur's Gate. Very good game, but you definitely have to like appreciate that style of game. Enjoying it a bunch. Still working through Pikmin. I think we're almost done. And I think that's it. Oh, a little bit of Hollow Knight. I'm stuck on Watcher Knights right now.
Oh, Watcher Knights are fun.
So yeah, I have to figure out how not to just trade health with them, because I feel like I do well and then I wind up in the corner, I'm just button mashing hoping that I can kill them before they kill me, and it never works. So we'll revisit the drawing board. I think I need to move away from like a male based like charm build for this and go more like spell,
caster.
So we'll see how that goes. Maybe I'll give it a try tonight. We'll see.
Cool.
Yeah. And I think that's it. So we'll get on with the show. Aiden, any League Cast news?
Nothing too crazy. OP.GG's will be done by the end of the month. I'll probably do mine on like the 29th, 30th or whatever. Mm-hmm. Everything's going swell. I don't think there's anything else too crazy. I'll probably still do more of some wheel custom games, but I've just been busy. So hopefully sometime soon. I have like 50 on the wheel now, by the way.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. People have been really enjoying that and really enjoying submitting
their own ideas,
which is really cool.
Yeah. It makes me like so desperately wish there was actually a custom game mode builder in League.
Yeah.
Because like that brings me like way back to the StarCraft Brood War days where I didn't play like any actual StarCraft. I just played like hundreds of those different custom maps, and it was so fun because like when you outsource that game design, everybody can just build what they want and then iterate on it and make it better, and you end up with a game with so many really good fun options. And I feel like part of that also is like it doesn't really matter if it's balanced because you play a game mode like 4 or 5 times and you're just on to the next one.
People are just playing it for fun, not for, I don't know, like serious, like
I mean some of them did get serious. Like that was my introduction to MOBA style games.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
One of those, which like over the iterations I think it had like, you know, hundreds of different versions as they patched characters and adjusted builds, but like even then, you know, like that was a really fun community to be a part of as the game developed. And also it was very nice to be able to like still load into older versions, right? Where it's like, if the current patch is 13.3, like you can still build a lobby for 9.2. And I think that'd be,
well, that's cool.
That'd be really fun nowadays, to like be able to queue up for a game of League and be like, yeah, I want season 2 patch, whatever. And you get to experience that for one game and say, yeah, I'm glad it's not that way anymore.
Yeah, I think a lot of people really underestimate how bad the game used to be. So
I was watching like old like season 3 VODs, like not competitive, but like solo queue VODs from like old channels.
Yeah.
Not only did it look like shit, but like, I don't know, people like go like talk about how like, oh, there's too much damage in the game. There's a lot, like there was less damage, don't get me wrong. Like I'm not saying that there's more damage, but people still got one hit, right? Like,
yeah, by, they like, were assassins fast.
And stuff. Mm-hmm. Like I was watching I can't remember who it was playing Kassadin, and he just fucking one hits the AD carry support, and it's like, I don't know, like it feels similar. I just think that people have rose tinted glasses about stuff.
Oh, for sure, for sure, for sure. I've gone on a crusade against some Reddit posts that I've seen in the mornings when I'm.
We're actually gonna talk about some of that later too.
Ooh, okay, cool. Then I won't spoil too much, but just know that if you post some dumb stuff to Reddit, I'll be there.
Laughing. Nick will find it.
So cool. I guess then we should just get on with the patch notes, right?
It's so short, yeah.
Cool. Akali, her Q energy cost is decreased. The base damage is increased. So buffs for the ninja.
Brand's passive mana restoration is increased. His QAP scaling is increased. And his EAP scaling is increased.
Yo, do you guys see if he kills a unit with his passive on it, it restores 30 mana?
It's pretty good.
Could you not just like EW the whole wave? I don't know.
I mean, I think that's the point, is to be able to do that and like get most.
It just seems
of
like
mana
a lot
back.
Of refund if you can like one shot the wave, you know?
Yeah.
It is a high mana spell itself. I know that. It's like 70 or something, and I think it scales up to like 100 maybe.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Cool. Up next we've got Caitlyn. Passive attacks per headshot is going from 7 down to 6.
I do think this is massive, man. Like, not only is it, like, really big. It's pretty big. So I was watching Furry's thing. He said, like, this will relate in, like, a 4% increase in damage, which to me sounds strong, by the way. like overall. But I think the other thing that we're not factoring is the fact that in bushes, this is 3 to proc headshot.
Instead of 4,
rather
right?
Than 4, right? Yeah.
Or 3.5. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 3, then the auto versus 4, then the auto, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of big.
That is big, if you're able to like play around that, obviously.
Yeah, it seems big to me. I feel like if you get like a decent combo, or like if you can start a trade with a headshot, like this means you can probably also end that trade with a headshot if you're in bush. as opposed to like only getting one headshot in your full combo.
Not bad.
Yeah. Up next we have Echo. Q, initial base damage increased. The slow is increased early. And W, base shield value increased. So
they're all pretty minor, but like I just hate this character.
Yeah. Yeah, not a big fan of the buff as well, but it's probably a character who needs it.
Yeah, 30 on his shield is probably the biggest one of those, but it's fine.
Cool. Karma, her Q AP scaling is increased, the ultimate AP scaling on her Q is increased, and the ultimate cooldown is decreased.
Wow.
Uh-oh.
Lucian's passive on hit damage is increased, which is nice.
Lulu health growth increased, so she'll be a little bit tankier. Q AP scaling increased and E AP scaling increased.
Ooh, this is a big one. This is a big one.
Okay, go for it.
Malzahar, his E tick rate is increased and the execute damage is decreased. So currently on live, Malzahar's E executes at 15 to 45. So it's going to execute at 10 to 30, which sounds like a nerf. But now the damage ticks every 0.25 seconds rather than every 0.5. So you will more consistently be able to get like last hits with your E, even that's though nice. It executes at a lower range. That's so big. That's actually such a nice change.
That well as like Aiden... I guess a probably less intended interaction of this, but you know, we're talking about how the E can proc airy twice if you get it to last long enough, and just like that having more ticks is going to increase the likelihood of that actually happening.
Yeah, yeah, it will give you like an extra like quarter second of the time in which airy could have procced. Yeah. That's cool.
Nice. That's good. Emilio, Q damage increased. E base shield strength is increased.
I think it's fine. Yucky. He's pretty weak at the moment. Let's be real.
Yeah, I think he's weak, but a bad character.
I do like them increasing his Q damage rather than like something else.
Yeah, though. For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Definitely the best way to go about it, I think.
Up next we've got Nefiri. Base armor is down, base AD is down, and base attack speed is down.
Yeah, just minor hits to her.
Little small things.
Her Nidalee's E AD scaling has been added. Oh, it didn't have an AD scaling. Now it's holy shit. That's not bad. You get plus 40% bonus AD. I guess you don't build a lot of bonus AD on her.
I mean, like, it's
like what? What do you build on her that has AD? I guess right
because it's normally bonus. You don't, but it's letting AD Nidalee exist a little bit better because you certainly can play like a Bruiser AD Nidalee. And go stuff like Sunderer or Iceborne and other tank items. So,
yeah, I mean, RF Legendary, and there's this one Nidalee one trick on NA who both play her top, but I feel like that's usually like Iceborne into tank.
Yeah.
But maybe you can fit like an AD item in there or something. That's cool.
Sweet. Rek'Sai, Q damage is adjusted from. I guess you could just look at it, but it's supposed to be a nerf until level 13 where it turns into a buff.
Cool.
Yeah, the biggest thing is they're switching the ratio from bonus AD to total AD.
Oh, that's nice, yeah.
Yeah.
But they're reducing the base damage. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a nerf early and better later.
It will be a buff? No, it's definitely a buff, right? Regardless?
It is a damage nerf until champion level 13.
That's what they say?
That doesn't make sense. Because if it's... So currently it's bonus ADs, which means you get zero scaling on it level one, right? It just does 21 damage. But if you have... Let's just say... I don't know what your base AD is. Let's say your base AD is 50, which is 50% of that. Or sorry, I guess... No, it's 30%. Oh, that's percentage. Wait, hold on. Is that ratio wrong? I'm so confused at what it's trying to say.
Hang on. I'm looking because I feel like they probably have this reversed.
So, no, I think what it's saying is that the base... damage,
it no longer has base damage, it's only total AD.
I think it's yeah there's
that's confusing. Okay, that's really
yeah,
fucking
confusing. Yeah,
yep,
because it looks like they just missed a parentheses, right?
For yeah,
like
the, and okay, that yeah. And that the base damage had gone up and the ratio went from bonus to total, and they're calling that a nerf. Yeah, no, okay, so
that's funny.
There is no longer a base damage and the Q just deals damage based on your total AD. A percentage of it,
yeah.
Yeah, which, like they're saying, is going to be weaker early, stronger later as you get more AD. Up next, Shaco, base mana regen decreased, W cost increased.
They're trying to nerf him for support. Like, he's just like, he's kind of popping up a lot for being a supposedly high skill support character. So probably good.
Good, very annoying champ to play against. Shyvana, W AoE and on hit damage decreased.
Ooh, Sylas base mana increased by 90.
Ooh.
Oh, this is funny. The target dummy is getting a bunch of changes. So the target dummy now has base movement speed, and it has like a minimum health can go down to 1. So like you can more accurately see when you reduce a character's movement speed, how that affects stuff, and you can like do more like percentage, like total missing health, like at damage abilities to see how much they do. So it's just like more quality of life stuff. It's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I think the another thing that is actually pretty good. I don't know if it is going to properly affect it, but like if you were trying to calculate damage of like horizon focus, maybe it not having a move speed would mean slowing it doesn't proc that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I
think it's just nice
that.
like seeing like if you throw wither on something, seeing like how much it actually slows it to and stuff like that. It's just like a nice visual.
Definitely.
It's cool.
True.
Next change, Tristana base armor is increased by 4. Armor growth is also increased. Magic resist is down. Base health is down.
Cool. Wukong, mana regen growth increased. Q mana cost decreased. W mana cost decreased.
They talk about it a little bit in the blur, but it does worry me when he's like actually played in pro play. Like I know he's played a little bit less right now than he was. He was like pick ban early season. But it always worries me when they like change a character for solo queue when it's pro skewed, but we'll talk about that later actually.
I do think that these particular changes are gonna do very little because they're just all around mana.
And if you're the jungler, you get a lot of mana regen in spots where you want to be fighting,
and the higher elo of play you play around costs and stuff like that better than the average player. Like yeah, it's like all the stuff that Freak talks about, but just always interesting.
Cool.
Items.
Lots of item changes.
So,
Go ahead.
The first one's Axie Mark. It's just getting it's a base ultimate cooldown refresh. It's going from 5 to 10. So now it will always be better after you buy it on second lethality item. So.
Okay. Nice. Duskblade. The cooldown is going up to 30 seconds, and the missing health damage is being reduced. People hate this item.
It is really annoying. They have some more changes that don't look like they're shipping right now. But on PvE, they have a change where burn damage still affects you, like in the Duskblade thing, which would be good.
It doesn't break projectiles.
Yeah,
and
you're
like immune to damage.
It does all the things that you would expect it to do, because it is annoying when like they would have died from like ignite or something like that.
Yeah,
you see them burning with the animation, but they're not taking damage.
I had that happen. I was furious because it's long enough that it blocks like 2 ticks of ignite.
Yeah,
and I think I was playing Fizz, so it was like 2 ticks of ignite and 2 ticks of Fizz passive, and I'm just like, cool. I just don't kill him there because he's invulnerable.
Yeah, it's just interesting because like definitely as my thoughts initially when this item got changed from the stealth to this, I was definitely like, oh, this is just a more healthy, more like visually understanding, like and understandable item. And I guess I was completely fucking wrong.
Well, because you expected it to function a certain way, right? Like established rules.
Yeah,
in the game.
I also thought that the like insta stealth, like you kill someone, you're immediately gone without a warning, like no animation, because you can't put an animation on an instant stealth, was just very jarring, I think, for the average player. But this is worse. Cool.
Prowler's
Claw. The cooldown is dropped and the damage is upped for both melee and ranged.
Yeah. Serpent's Fang is getting +3 lethality.
So is Umbral Glaive.
Nice.
Cool. Lots of arena and ARAM adjustments, as well as some augment nerfs and item buffs. Oh, and nerfs too. Surrender quality of life. So they did go through with this. Interesting. Mm-hmm. The name, it's anonymous now. You can't see who started the vote. The person who started the vote will not be able to start another vote in the next 6 minutes. So 2 like FF cycles. However, the rest of your team can still initiate a forfeit if they so choose. The surrender vote will automatically resolve when a vote can no longer pass and no longer remain open waiting for players to vote. And the Oh, okay. And the box has been the like blurb in chat in the box will get clarification on what type of surrender it is. If it's like a remake, an AFK surrender, or like a just a regular surrender, which is pretty nice.
All of our great changes, I think.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think take it even further. You can only initiate one surrender vote per game, per play.
I think that'd
take
be fine.
Take it even further, and you can't surrender.
Period. It's funny, we had that conversation a little bit ago. If they never introduced surrenders to League of Legends, I think Colton had this take of like, there would be some games that would be worse, but overall people would try harder in most games, play them out more often, and in unwinnable games, there just would be more of a... like community yeah. system of like you open and you let the enemy team mm-hmm. end.
Yeah,
for sure. For
right,
sure.
Like
for
that,
sure.
That vote just happens in team chat. And it's, I have very long held the opinion that if four people want to open and one person doesn't, if those four people AFK, they should all be reported and like should get
yeah,
punished.
It's okay to forfeit as long as everyone wants to forfeit.
Yeah, right. If you five man open, go for it, that's fine. But like you are trolling if there's one person mm-hmm. on your team still trying to play and you open. Like there's a reason the surrender system requires you to have, you know, at least at a certain time. It used to be, you know, you'd need all five. Now you can do it with a four person vote.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, like if there were no surrender votes, people would just open a lot more frequently. It's just, you know, in the days where we had to wait till later in the game to surrender and you needed, you know...
25 minutes.
You needed 25 minutes.
I can't believe that ended up being real,
by
the way.
I was so right, dude. I fucking... Everyone was gaslight gatekeeping and girl-bossing me, dude. It was crazy.
I was not gaslighting you. I just didn't remember that. And I don't know if I played at that point in the game. There's like Herald now, which people can actually kill the Nexus at like 19 minutes. In a game that you're winning hard versus I think in a lot of other iterations, like if their team isn't actively working together and like hitting stuff, like it's going to take them to like 27 minutes before they kill the Nexus, even if you're not trying.
Yeah. Especially in some of the, yeah, when the meta used to be longer.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, no good changes to surrenders. ARAM adjustments. They're taking a look at a lot of things. And just want to wait until the data settles out, I guess, a little bit before doing more changes.
Yep, and then Clash ARAM Cup this weekend.
Yeah, Nick, you're going to play with us, right?
God, I tried to just gloss over
you're
that.
You're going to play with us in ARAM Clash?
No,
we're
I am
go
out
to,
of town this weekend.
We're going to win
I'm out
the
of town
second
this
one?
Weekend. I'm out of town this weekend. I'm out of town this
It'd be
weekend.
So sick,
Thank
though,
you.
If you told like the people that you're going to go to their wedding and been like, hey, but I got first in my ARAM Cup twice.
That's
They'd probably
true.
Be like, oh, that makes sense.
Nick, you're going to be out of town this weekend because you're coming to visit me and you're going to play at the desk right next to me while we win. Yeah.
Yes,
Clash,
please
right?
show up at your nearest airport and I'll be there.
Hell yeah.
I don't believe you.
You'll know.
We're going to have so much fun with that, you man.
Nick,
okay,
anytime.
Cool. I hope you do.
Anytime, Nick. There's a desk next to me. There's a spare bed. Come over, play League of Legends with me.
Okay, mm-hmm. We'll do, buddy.
Just a quick
I hope you guys. I hope you guys lose every single game
you
and it's
don't,
miserable.
You don't
I really,
you
really do.
Don't mean
I do.
That.
I do.
Don't mean
I do mean that,
that. So
with all my
true.
Heart. I've never meant anything more in my entire
you
life.
You can't even say it with a fucking straight voice. Get
I hope
here.
You lose every single game that you play this weekend, and I hope that you demote back down to Emerald 3.
That's so fucked up of you to say.
The both of you.
That really, How's that really huh? hurts, Nick.
That's actually just not very nice.
Yeah.
Mm. Upcoming skins. There's Immortal Journey, Kayle, Shyvana, Sona, Soraka, Zed, Zeri, and Prestige.
Don't you mean
Immortal
Ash?
Journey, Sona. They did fix it, so the Kayle one doesn't look like Ash anymore. So that's good.
Well,
and there's Chroma's
Raw. It used to have like the same head symbol, so they look uh-huh. the exact same with the icon. Like,
they
identical.
They still look pretty similar.
Yeah. Cool. ARAM Clash is this weekend.
Yeah.
Sure
we're going to play
is.
We're going to have
fun.
We
talked about that. I hope so.
Cool.
Sweet. Do we want to talk about competitive league at all? I guess we could do a bi-weekly.
I want to do the bi-weekly first, though.
Okay.
So
sure.
There's been a lot of sentiment recently about the game being shit. The game being unplayable. The game being not as good as it used to be. And I want to figure out, is that actually the case? the answer is it's not. but no, there's been like a lot of, over the past couple of years, I think it's been kind of going downhill with the public sentiment of League of Legends. Obviously, daily, if you're ever on Reddit and you go to the front page, there will be at least one to two posts about people saying, is this the worst season of ranked ever? I just keep getting trollers in my game. Honestly, people who like troll games should be like punished harder than people who like say mean words. And it's just like, it's constant. It's like nonstop. It's just people complaining about anything. You'll constantly see content creators quit. Recently, we've seen Saber, the AD carry player, quit. And I think the reasons he gave were fucking the most embarrassing ones I've ever seen. But hey, that's fine. If AD carries don't want to play the game, I'm happy not to have them. But anyways, I there was this one good video that got put out by Minish Cap 1, who's a Singed player. He's been playing since the very beginning. And I think there was a lot of good stuff in his video. And I mean, if you're going to listen to the video, it's like 54 minutes. Don't listen to the last 20 minutes, because the last 20 minutes are a little like ranty. But like overall, the concepts were good. I guess before we jump into his specific things, like what do you guys think about the current game? Do you think it's better or worse than the game before? And then we can jump into kind of his points that he brought up and we can discuss those.
I think the game is always improving on itself, just as a whole. I'm not going to, like... It's hard for me to say because, like, we experience League patch by patch, right? And we think back on League as, like, not two specific patches, but, like, specific years where, you know, we don't think about the bad stuff or the bad losses that we had or anything like that. I think it's really easy to like look back and you know, think, wow, I had so much fun in season like 4 or whatever, but also forget about patch 420 with Weedwick.
I miss one-shotting everyone.
Ugh. Like, but I think like as a whole, the game is just improving. I think it's like probably more fun to play than like it's been in a long time. I think like Arena's really fun to play. Aram's like pretty fun to play overall. Like main league is pretty fun. I feel like people get their role more often than they don't, which has been an issue in maybe not like super recent years, but you know, previous years. So I don't know. I think the game is like super fun, and I'm of the opinion that if you look back fondly and like don't also consider the negatives that existed then you're just delusional.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, the way that you have to look at it is that I think League has been trending towards the better for a long time. And certainly there have been individual patches or certain decisions that were, you know, a swing and a miss, and they had to be reverted or adjusted or whatever. But I think overall it's been trending towards the better. I think, yeah, a lot of the bad things from seasons past get forgotten about. And I also think a lot of what people remember is not really what the game was like, but just like specific, I think a lot of it is just like specific pro games, because I feel like very few people could tell me anything about any game they played in season 2.
Yeah,
but maybe they could tell me about like a couple professional games that happened in season 2, and I don't think that that's super representative of like the state of solo queue in season 2 and the state of playing normal games in season 2, with all of the flaws that existed. I think additionally, and we've talked about this before, that like players are just a lot better now. And so when there is a miss from Riot, it gets identified and either abused or complained about really quickly, right? Where it's like, if a character comes out and is bad on their release day, like their hotfix buffed that same day, versus I feel like in older versions of League, they could come out like in order of magnitude stronger or weaker, and we still probably wouldn't get that adjustment until like 2 days later. If that, and I think especially like in terms of figuring out meta and items and stuff like that, where it's a lot rarer, though it still does exist today, where like you find somebody playing a particular character or build or, you know, different strategy that's not the meta that is really strong. I think, you know, the best most recent example would be playing like AD Shyvana top, where like that could have been happening for such a long time, and it, you know,
she did like just get buffs before that though, like previously.
I still think like that build could have been like performing fine. You know, maybe it would have been like a 51% win rate build, but like I think before it became popularized, people would have seen that and said you're trolling for even attempting it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that again, just took a lot longer, where like that type of build could have probably existed for many more patch cycles and just nobody tried it, or even if one person was playing it, nobody found them and then popularized it. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's what leads a lot of people to thinking like the game is like bad and too optimized, is because these things just resolve faster. And again, like players are just better at identifying them. And I don't think those are bad things for the game. I'll hand it over to Aiden here in a sec, but one more thing that I just want to bring up to like frame this whole discussion in, as these people are like leaving the game or complaining about the current state of the game, is just like, if you think about it, just like big picture perspective, like getting 12 years of solid enjoyment out of a game is still a really good thing and a really rare thing. Where like the idea that, you know, a game could keep you captivated for 12, 13 years is wild. And I think it's also really okay to just not like the game anymore, right? Like the Colton that started playing League of Legends was in middle school, didn't have a job, like was a totally different person, liked different, like that was years ago. Like, it's okay if I don't like the game anymore, you know, right? Like, so many of these people, and I don't think it's going to necessarily for everybody still be the same thing 12, 13, 14 years later.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, no, I don't know. I think the game is in a good state right now. There are certainly things that I still find very frustrating, but as a whole, I don't think that there's a problem. And I don't think it's gotten worse. I think people just like to complain.
Agreed. Aiden, how do you feel?
Yeah, so I think I've had, I've said it a couple of times, cause I've had a couple come to God moments this weekend. playing like on my mid account, and be like, man, what am I doing? I'm just fucking playing these games and I'm fucking just not even winning. I'm not even enjoying it. I'm just fucking trying to win. And then I started playing fun characters and I felt that for a while. And then I, like, turns out, as soon as you start losing there, you start questioning stuff. And then also, I think the biggest thing that was my turning point was sitting in a group call with my friends for like 8 hours, and we're all just losing games, having not, seemingly at least on the outside, not a good time. And I'm like, this is not good. And then literally the next day, I watch a video, and it's just someone like talking, and the league gets brought up, and they're like, they're talking about how League is one of the worst, in their opinion, uses of your time, like just ranked solo queue. In like in their opinion, right? It's kind of like, it's kind of my opinion to the T of like just sitting there for X number of hours playing games to maybe go up rank, in worst case scenario you just lose a bunch of games, isn't currently in my enjoyment, right? Like the learning that I would get from just losing a bunch of rank games is not good enough for me right now. I think a lot of that does come from the fact that I've kind of hit a rank that is, in my opinion, my peak. Like, there's a world in which I, maybe if I grind at the beginning of the season, I could maybe like cheese Grandmaster, like the 300 point like start or whatever. But I'm not good enough to be Grandmaster at the end of the season. I'm not good enough to be 700 more LP higher than I currently am or whatever. Which I think makes it hard to want to grind for a rank, which means I'm kind of just capped, which means I'm playing solo queue for the sake of just playing solo queue, and then I can't do a queue in solo queue because I'm master player, so I can't play with my friends, which means I'm just playing alone, which means the time in, time out just isn't worth it for me, which is fine. And like what I take away from all this is I don't think other people should stop playing because I think it's bad. I just think that like I probably shouldn't put the time in if I don't think I'm getting anything out of it, which is just how every adult handles their life with everything in it. You know what I mean? If you don't like something, you just don't do it, right? Or you do less of it or whatever. And I've just playing Arena with my friends and I've been having a blast. And sometimes when I don't have a blast, like we talked about before the show, I'm like, oh, sometimes people play lame stuff and it's boring. You know what I do? I have a game that I didn't enjoy and then I go take a break. I go take a walk. I go do anything else for a little bit and I feel good. And that's just how I control myself. I just think it's like I've just grown up with the game and parts of it I've been tired of, and those parts I just don't engage with anymore. I think the game is the best balanced it's ever been. like maybe like you have an up or down on certain patches or whatever, but like the game gets better every single year. And I don't know, the complaints are crazy. I think like every role is like has like good agency. You can climb to challenger playing any champion, any role. Obviously some of them are harder, maybe some of them work better or worse for metas, but like the game's fucking good, man.
Yeah, and that's a sentiment we've seen a lot in our Discord recently, is like X role can't do this, this character can't do this because of how items are, you can't do X, Y, and Z. And it's like none of that is true.
Typical is like your teammate, like if you're playing AD carry, your support will hold you back. If you're playing support, your AD carry will hold you back. If you're playing mid, your jungler will hold you back. If you're playing top, your jungler will hold you back. If you're playing jungle, your laners will hold you back, right? The whole idea is like it's very easy to off-put blame when in reality, yes, people do affect your roles, but every role is affected by them, so therefore everyone has the same like equal circumstances for climbing, especially over enough games.
And both teams have that, and if you are actually better than your current rank over a significant number of games, it'll matter. And I think, like, to me, the easiest way to like disprove that line of reasoning is, right, like if someone's like, I can't get out of gold because AD carry has no agency, like legitimately, like dead honest, tell me, do you think if you had Ruler playing in gold they would not be able to get out of gold?
No, of course not.
No,
I think the biggest thing that comes to there that I want to give them some credit for it, I do think this is a thing. Like, obviously, League is a game that takes X number of games to climb, right? If I'm a diamond player playing in gold, I'll climb pretty quick, right? Mm-hmm. If I am a gold 3 player and I'm playing in silver 1, I will climb, but the ability for you to climb at a high speed isn't that crazy. It's like almost like in 100 games, you'll climb the same percentage as you are difference in skill different. If that makes sense, you know what I mean? If I play 100 games and I'm diamond 1 versus gold 3, I'll climb like a huge percentage. Whereas if I'm play 100 games and I'm a gold 1 player and I'm playing gold 4, I'll only climb a fraction of that percentage, which feels bad, right? Improving small amounts at a slow rate can feel rough, but you also, I don't know if you're like, you should be playing the game to enjoy the game. Like it's...
Yeah. And I think another thing is like with LP gains as they currently are, unfortunately that like long-term improvement gets, I think, obscured by the fact that you could hit that same level of improvement on like one good day. Right. Where it's like, if we'll use the same example. If you're a silver 1 player playing at a gold 3 level, right, so like over 100 games, let's say you go 60% win rate, you win 60 and lose 40, you're in gold 3 now. You could also get like, you know, that plus 20 like wins over losses on a couple of good days where you go like, you know, 5-0 or 5-1, and you do that like a few times in a row. And I think that that's tough for people to realize, that it's like, let's say I'm a D4 player in terms of my rank and I'm D3 in level of skill, right? Like if I win 5 in a row, I'm D3. Mm-hmm. But, you know, to maintain that, I might bounce between D4 and 3, D3 a dozen times before like my MMR really settles out and I stick. And I think people don't acknowledge that as much. And I think
that's the difference of playing for rank versus playing like once again, we tout Broken by Concept a lot, but a lot of their stuff is like the idea of it being a marathon, right? Like if you're just trying to sprint for a goal, it won't probably be a fun journey at all. The game is not designed to like be a sprint for your goal type game, which if that's not what you want, then like it's also fine to like not enjoy or play rank. Like I think that's absolutely fine.
And I think that also, yeah, like it makes the losses, I think, a lot worse if you see it as a sprint, where, you know, let's go again, like worst case scenario, like, okay, I had an AFK on my team, so now not only did I lose, but I have to win one to get back where I was and win another one to improve. So, right, like, it's going to take me, like, 3 games to move anywhere in my sprint, versus if you are playing from the improvement mindset, like, there's probably still something you could have learned from every win and every loss.
Yeah.
And something you could have worked on and done better.
Yeah, just making sure you don't throw out like the wins that should be guaranteed by like tilting or whatever, like all that stuff. I do want to quickly jump into the Minish Cap video, like really quick. I just kind of boil this thing down to four main points, and then we can kind of jump off that. We kind of touched on them a little bit, but I thought they were interesting. So this is, it's like a 54 minute video. I'd recommend watching it. Probably skip out the last 15 or so, because he does get a little ranty anti-Riot Games-y at the end. But it's a pretty good video. It's definitely more cohesive than I think any of anyone else's quitting videos have been. Because those ones, I mean, dude, fucking Sabers, where he's like, Bame just used to be so good for AD carry, because like you could express your skill, and he shows a clip of like him getting hit by like a Fizz ult and dying. He's like, it won't hit me. It's like you were hit by a max range Fizz ult, man.
Also, the Fizz has 10 kills.
Yeah, like Fizz has 10 kills up three levels or something like that.
Yeah.
And then he has like another clip where like he's mad because like a Yasuo ults him under tower and gets away. And it's like, I don't know, man. And then he shows the clips of like the good old days, and it's like him just face tanking everything, killing people 1v5 as Caitlyn.
just like, 1v9ing with only a Lulu on him.
Dude, it's so gross, man. It's just like that. I think the things that he says can be true. I just think all the clips that he used are some of the worst examples I've ever seen in any video. It's crazy. But anyways, Minish Cap goes into a big, long video. The first thing he touches on is that the game is balanced too much for pro play. And then to touch on that, he says it's too slow to react, mostly to not disturb pro play. It's balanced for pros. There's no large changes during the pro season. And I think a lot of the sentiment behind this is kind of true, and it kind of augments how the game is functioned. In theory, if we didn't have a pro scene, the game probably would be balanced much differently. We'd probably get much more drastic changes at a much faster pace, and they wouldn't be strategically placed to not interrupt pro League of Legends, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think those are all true statements. I don't know if the game is balanced too much for pro, but I think all the changes, timing-wise at the very least, and scope, are very much impacted by pro.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
And it's just like, I do think that like it wouldn't be bad if the game completely just said, fuck you, pro play. We're balancing the game whenever we want for the audience. I don't think that would be a bad thing.
Yeah, I don't know. They've always kind of felt like 2 week patches are the way that they want to go for the game, right?
I guess like, so like a big example, Nick, will be, so we have Worlds coming up in November. And there will be no major balance changes until Worlds now. I think there'll be one or two more. I think it'll be 17 and 18.
What would you define as like a major, like a large balance change?
Well, so like the whole thing is Worlds would probably play on 13.18.
Mm-hmm.
So there can't be any changes. I mean, they're trying to have less changes so that pros can practice on live servers and it won't be different than their experience on
right? Mm-hmm, I understand. My question is, what is the opposite of that? Like, what change outside of preseason and midseason would you cite as like something that has happened? Maybe there is no example of this, but like, what is a large change that would impact pro play that they like have made or haven't made? I just think
changing meta characters. I think that like alone, right? Like they won't like drastically buff or nerf characters to push them in and out of like pick ban status, because that will affect pro play so much, right? It has to be intertwined. Like let's just say going into like the first week of Worlds or whatever, Vi is pick ban, 100% pick ban. They can't really gut her until Worlds is over, right? That's just not something they can do, right? They can tap her down a little bit for solo queue, but they won't gut her. They will make sure she's playable, because it needs to be like parity between pro play and solo queue to some degree, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's a little scary sometimes, especially when it's like this year is the most fucked, is because every pro region needs to play on a patch before it goes to the international event. And this year we have Asian Games, which delays everything by a month. So we're going to have this even longer period than usual of this kind of no man's land of no changes, assuming that Riot doesn't change their mantra. Like they can just fucking like, for example, Nefiri shouldn't be playable at Worlds according to their current rule book, right? But they've already said they're enabling Nefiri for Worlds. She shouldn't be enabled because she's not gonna be enabled for LPL or LCK, which means she shouldn't be enabled for Worlds. So they can always go back on the rules that they make, because they're all arbitrary. But it does scare me when we have like a 2 month period of there could be almost no changes to the game.
And that's fair. I understand that, I guess. I don't know. I guess I just don't feel like this has ever been Riot's MO to ever make large changes outside of the midseason and preseason.
Yeah. I guess the counterpoint that would
be, and maybe it is like pro play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was gonna say the counterpoint would be we've had competitive leagues for the last 10 years, right?
Yeah.
So, and I think it's probably like not even fair in my side, even if I found an example for season mm-hmm. 1 or season 2 to say that here they did, because it's been so far removed.
Yeah,
But in theory, like once again, in theory, I'm gonna use that a lot, because we haven't fucking seen this in 10 years. If we weren't beholden to the idea of like we need to have pro play be a balanced state where one team doesn't just get fucked off a random patch, we could just have these crazy like item updates, champion reworks, how like the map is and stuff at any point during the year, right? Like that's just something they could do. And the reason they mm-hmm. don't is because they obviously don't want to just have, oh, Cloud9's winning the split. Oh, we just fucked top lane. Top lane just isn't a role anymore. Oh, and Cloud9 played through their top a lot. So you're mm-hmm. not just going to do that, right?
Like, yeah. And I think like even more so, I think a really like good specific example would be like particular characters who are like, you know, like if there's a pro who was a one trick or is a one trick, like, you know, let's go with the classic Frog and Anivia, right? Where it's like, what if halfway through the split, they just like buff the hell out of Anivia, and then that goes from like a sixth place team to a first place team because he gets to now play his like main every game.
Like, yeah, and they do like large balance changes. I'm not saying that they don't fully, but I'm just saying that they will shy away from making drastic changes on a frequent basis, right?
Yeah. Like, and I think to me, at least in the world's time period, I feel like what we're going to see is less significant buffs, because I think generally that is much more of a concern, where if you make a character too strong, I think that's way more problematic than a character being too weak, right? Because yeah. there's, you know, at any time, yeah, for sure, there's probably sure. like 40 characters who are significantly weaker than they should be in like a perfectly balanced world. But I think typically most patches only have like at most 4 or 5 characters who are too strong in like a bad way, and can really define the meta and the patch and make it so that they're just 100% pick ban. And mm-hmm. I think that's something that people don't want to see in competitive and don't want to see at Worlds, is like Cassante pick ban every game, Kassadin pick ban every game, Caitlyn pick ban every game. If there's like 4 characters that are pick ban every game, people are going to be mad and say like the state of the balance is not good. And so that's, you know, at least in the time up to Worlds, I think we'll just see mostly very minor buff adjustments, and then a lot more of just taking things down that are too strong. But to jump back a little bit, I agree mostly with Nick that generally Riot doesn't make big changes to the game outside mm-hmm. of mid-season and preseason. You know, with the exception, I would say, of like reworks and new characters, those are really the only, I think, major changes that we typically see, where like, you know, even if we look back at like this last patch that we read at the beginning of the show today, I don't think there are any major changes in this patch.
Yeah, this is a pretty small patch.
And yeah, like this one was a light one, sure, but I think if we went back to like the last 6 patches, maybe 1-2 big changes. Mm-hmm. And again, like big in terms of the scoping of a normal patch as opposed to like a mid-season patch. I guess we could say like a big change that was made this patch was the change to lethality items. Like, you could define that as a big change if you want to, since they changed 5 lethality items to make them, you know, stronger for the most part. But
for the sake of the argument, like, okay, so they don't make the changes, and maybe they should, right? Because there's a lot more to cover here.
Yeah, no, for sure. I just think, like, once again, I don't even think it's like that big of a thing. I just think it's one of those things where the game definitely is being altered because of pro play, right?
Yeah,
We will see less changes for a period of 2-3 months because Worlds is coming up, right? Which mm-hmm. does augment the game for hundreds of millions of players for 100 players. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the whole point. I just think it's like, it does seem a little out of scope sometimes, I guess. But anyways, that's just like the first thing. The next thing he talks about, which I think is the most interesting thing that I haven't heard too many people bring up, the game is too formulaic. And the idea behind this is, I think at a glance, that's a dumb thing to say, but a lot of things have been introduced in League of Legends to make the game more formulaic. Stuff like laning phase is till 14 minutes because we've arbitrarily made turret platings kind of keep you in lane until they fall, right? Dragon spawn every 5 minutes, Herald spawn at 5 minutes, and then is it Herald 5 minutes after or 6 minutes after? Actually, I don't remember. Or it spawns at 8, and then it's 5 minutes after, I think. And then if there's Elder or Baron, those are game enders with how strong they are. And that's kind of the idea. It's like you kind of play the same 25, 30 minute format, like with 14 minutes of laning, team fighting, and then late game objectives to close out the game over and over and over again. And I don't think old League of Legends was that different, but it definitely was like less formulaic, right? Like there was less systems in the game to keep it that structured, right?
Mm-hmm. I would agree, but I don't see that as a problem. Like, yeah. You could say that like modern League is formulaic, or you could just say that like old League was really sloppy.
Yeah, I guess like, yeah, you had sloppy League, but I also think that like, once again, like I really do think turret plating does kind of just make laning phase until it falls, right? And that's just an arbitrary number that we selected. I don't think it's a bad thing, by the way. I think laning phase is one of the most interesting parts about League. I just think there are a lot of things that keep the game on rails, I guess. Not to say that if these rails were removed, we wouldn't just dig our own fucking, like, cart tracks to, like, glide in. But it does feel interesting. Like, I mentioned this a billion times with, like, all the rules on turrets that fucking no one understands, like, from the years of iteration, that Riot kind of has selected how the game is supposed to play out for the first at least 15 minutes of the game. And then with, obviously, objectives and, like, Elder, Soul, Barons, they've kind of selected when the game ends as well. And I just think it's interesting. I've just never heard this brought up, honestly, ever.
It's hard to say because, like, the points you're making are accurate in
they are just statements, like, by the way. These are not really, like, complaints or anything, like, the way at least I'm phrasing them. I've kind of... He's definitely phrased them all as complaints in his video. I'm more just rephrasing them as statements.
But I feel like... I feel like it's almost a, like, rules of our own, like, doing, right? Like, the reason that turret plating exists is because, like, lane swapping was super abusive for the game, and the reason that the turret platings exist the way they do is because, like, funneling was a thing for such a long time. Like, they, I don't know, there's so much, like, there's so many, like, Riot isn't implementing these, like, just for fun, I guess. And I think that it's interesting to look back on the changes and say it's too formulaic, even though, like, I think, like, the game of League that you're playing on one patch or 1 year is probably the same that you're playing throughout the entire time, barring, like, I don't know. Like, I truly don't know. I, like, obviously games are kind of formulaic now, but if you look back, hasn't that always been the case for every single, like, season of League? Hasn't there always been, like, this is the correct way you play the game? Like, yeah. This is when laning phase is over. This is when you should rotate your bot lane outside of, like, bot lane. This is when you should take Herald. This is when you should take Dragon, Baron, etc. Like,
ad nauseam. Those are all rules still imposed by Riot. I completely agree. I just think at some point, like, there obviously is a lot of rules that Riot has, which kind of have always been in the game. Like, even with, like, old dragons give a shitload of gold if you don't contest them. Like, they force you to fight, right? Like, is the idea. So I don't think it's changed that much. I do think it's, like, there are a lot of rules that are in the game that kind of force you to play the same game, right?
Yeah, and I think, you know, to jump back a little bit, you know, I think it's what they're trying to do is just lead the game to a better place on average, where it is a more consistent, understandable experience. And I think that, you know, with the game being, like, too formulaic or, like, too solved, I've seen that also come up. And that's personally an opinion I really, really dislike, because people will complain about the game being, like, too solved and, or, you know, again, too formulaic, but it's like the formula is so deep that you're still not interacting with it correctly.
Yeah.
In the vast majority of cases, right? And like one conversation that came up in the Discord is like, you know, why League is so much different than like chess, because like chess is solved. And it's like, I mean, League is obviously less solved than chess, but like still every single human being playing chess is not playing solved chess because they're not capable of that. Mm-hmm. Even the very best in the world. And it, you know, especially not the people who are like pretty like amateur to the game, or let's say like, you know, the vast majority of like silver, gold, platinum, if we just take that like whole bubble, right? Like none of the issues you're experiencing are because the game is solved. It's because there are 10 people on average making 1,000 mistakes every game.
Yeah.
Right. Like that point really bugs me a lot of times when people complain about things being like solved or too formulaic. And it's like, okay, well, if it was, why are you not doing the correct thing half the time?
Well, I think like the other half of that is, because I also hate that argument. I think it's really, really stupid, because I feel like League is ever evolving, and I'm not going to, you know, accuse Minish Cap of making this point, but I think it is brought up by a lot of people that like the game is solved, but then we'll also see these people complain about like certain characters played out of like the norm, or a strategy other than the one they think is correct will be implemented in a game and they'll like lose because of it in their eyes, or I don't know, some factor that varies from the formula that they've determined in their own mind is like how you play League. And like I think that's like I don't know, I have an issue with saying League is too formulaic, because throughout like I guess you could boil anything down to, you know, you lane for 14 minutes, then you take dragons, and then you team fight, and the game's over. But in reality, it's like, I don't know, pathing is different for junglers every single game. Every single lane you play is going to be like vastly different from like the others. And to like, I guess by narrowing it down to its, or like distilling it to its base form, I feel like just does such a disservice to the complexity that goes into like League as a whole. It's kind of like you could say, you know, chess is a solved game, and but by the time you have made your first move, like there's a correct way to play it. But chess is still one of the most popular games in the world, and people are always learning and always making like different plays and different mistakes and things like that. And the variance that goes into it, I think, like saying, you know, you just move your pieces on the board is the way to boil down chess, but there's so much complexity behind that boiling down that is a disservice.
For sure. So the next one is probably the one I disagree with the most. I've heard this a lot though. There's less choices in items, runes, etc., keystones, you know, all that good old jazz. I think I do disagree with like most of this for like the most part. I think old League had similar amounts of choice. A lot of the thing we had the discussion a couple months ago with like the rune pages one, with like the idea of current runes are solved and old runes weren't solved, so the old ones had more choice. But really what we, our opinion at least, I think what we came like boiled down to was we just didn't have it solved. They would have been solved. Like if we had old runes right now, that we'd solve them.
Yeah, it was a different time where like no one knew what they should be doing, and there was such a barrier to entry that people were just forced to go like suboptimal runes or whatever the case was. Like there just wasn't enough information out there or accessible. Versus like, okay, now you'll go to YouTube, type in like Garen runes versus Riven challenger, like on the patch you're playing, and a video will come up like telling you what to do and you know how to do that.
I also think we're getting like slowly, I talked about this a couple weeks ago, we're getting closer to the point of people like more and more people understanding that like stuff is less solved than we thought, and you can change stuff to alter how you play, right? Like the idea of taking like a second wind rather than bone plating and then just playing the lane in a different fashion is like something you can actually consider doing, even though it's optimal to take bone plating in X matchup, right?
Yeah. And I think that, yeah, that's, I think it's so much a symptom of just like how accessible the data is now, where, you know, I'm not sure when all of these services came around, but certainly they've been here now for several years, and I feel like the entire League player base is aware of them, right? So it's like every patch you know, you'll now look and be like, okay, what are the characters that are strong in my role? What is their optimal build? What are my runes? Like, I think people are doing that so much more often these days, mm-hmm. and are so quick to say, you know, hey, this one has a higher pick rate and a 1% better win rate. You're trolling by building Liandry's instead of Everfrost. And, you know, again, that aggregate statistic does not describe the exact situation of your current game. And I think people are way too afraid to try and adjust accordingly to their particular, you know, game setup and game state, right? Where I think, you know, there are particular examples where you could say, like, a character's best item is this, or like their best fourth item is always this. But if you're in a game that's about to be decided at an Elder Dragon fight, and you can either be 300 gold short of your best in slot item, or you can complete a different legendary item and be at that fight, right? Like, the correct choice is to come to that fight with a completed item. But people don't think like that. And I think that's very problematic.
I think people also tend to forget, like, largely what happened, like, previously. It's really easy to look at, like, oh, everyone just builds Duskblade now and one-shots each other. But, like, I posted something on this today. Like, back to season, like, zero, we had, you know, Double Will of the Ancients, and that kind of defined the meta. We had the League of Black Cleavers, and that defined the meta. We had Thunderlords, which obviously isn't an item, but when it was, like, initially added to the game, everyone and their brother just took Thunderlords on whatever character they could. I mean, Old Spear of Shojin, problematic in meta-defining for top lane.
Deathfire
Ravenous
Grasp.
Hydra recently. Yeah, Deathfire Grasp. Like, Spirit of the Elder Lizard and Cinderhulk. Like, it's not just a modern League issue. It is, like, League has always been, I think, primarily defined, like, the meta just defined by copycats, right? You just play what someone else has figured out is, like, best, and you just slam that for as many games as you can to get the rank that you're at, because otherwise you just get flamed, or if you don't get the immediate, you know, positive feedback, then you know, you move away from that, and you know, I think we're not immune to it, but I don't know, it's really dumb to hear that, but then also have historical examples of like the game literally being defined by items or runes or something like that.
Yeah, I do think, like, one more thing I wanted to bring up that I've heard a little bit, and I at least feel the sentiment of, is, so mythic items are a big touch piece, I think, right now. I think a lot of people love them, a lot of people hate them.
Mm-hmm.
I do think we are still in a part of the game where, what, there's might be like 60 legendaries or something like that in the game, and then there's 28 mythics. It does, to me at least, feel a little bit bad with the number of items that when you buy a mythic, it immediately shuts out 27 of the 100 items in the game, like, that you can buy. I think that's, like, a little bit, like, I wish the mythic system was a little bit different, right? Because it still does feel like a not fully complete system, especially when these mythics don't fully augment the game, right? If every mythic was like a Heart Steel or like a Gale Force, or, you know, like these, like, these game altering change how your character plays, I could kind of feel that. But, like, some of them are just like Trinity Force, right? Or like they're just like stat items. It just feels bad when, like, say you're a mage. I think mages honestly probably still have it worse. Like, you buy a mythic item and now your options went from being, I don't know, 15 items down to 10, right? That might just be a symptom of there's not enough items in League of Legends, but I think that doubly feels bad when the mythic item is like the limit to one system, right?
Yeah, and I feel like obviously, like, the intent is that the different mythics will, like, fulfill different areas of strength that you want to be able to have, and so, like, ideally there's not a world where you would ever really want to build Ludens and Liandry's, because you either want to be bursting or you want to be, like, being able to burn down tanks. But I feel like that's not really the case. And I think another big issue with it is just that, like, the stats on mythics are typically so good, and I think particularly like for the mage mythics, that's yeah. more of the problem. Is like, you could let a player have both of those passives, they just can't have both of those passives and those big balls of stats.
Yeah,
I actually think the best example for us to like use in this discussion is the 80 carry ones, because I think they're an example of items that feel really, really bad to buy for the most part. Like, buying Rageblade doesn't feel good, mm-hmm. right? It just feels like you buy a stat stick that just increases what you're doing already. Like, buying IE doesn't feel good. I guess, like,
Gale's the Gale only Force one that actually least, has, like, has the mythic feeling that it feels like they initially wanted, right?
I also think, like, Quick Blades to a certain extent. Yeah, that's just fair, because, yeah. Like on Lucian, you get Quick Blades, and then you start, like, okay, now I'm popping off. Like, I'm going to be sliding around, killing everyone, like, just blasting kids, right? But I actually feel like it's a very, like, on the surface level, yeah, it sucks because they don't do anything, you know. But then you like, go, you like, take a deeper dive into it. You know, if you're a crit-based AD carry, like, I guess you don't have the diversity that you would like. But did you have it before when every single game you were going, you know, Phantom Dancer into IE? You know, now you build IE as your mythic every single time, but at least it defines the kind of build that you're going. And for some of these, like, more ambiguous characters who have multiple builds, like, you know, Twitch, where sometimes you can go Rageblade, sometimes you can go IE, you know, sometimes you'll want to go Gale, sometimes you'll even want to go, like, Crown or something and go AP, that I think, like, that's where the mythic system really shines. I don't think it's a perfect system. I think there are aspects of it that are really, really, really frustrating, but to like the thing that I was referring to earlier was a Reddit post where, you know, a comment said mythics are like literally ruining the game. Like,
yeah.
I just fail to see that because I don't think I just don't think the old item system was so much so much more superior than I think they're just equivalent in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, I think it just comes from, like, just not having enough items in the game still. Like, I don't think, I just think
for sure.
It's less so the mythic system, it's more so, like, the actual just itemization back end, that I think, like, the mythic takes the brunt force for, like, the hate mm-hmm. for it, right? But anyways, the last one really quick is items are too strong, sometimes stronger than champs. It feels like, you guys have heard, it feels like you're playing Divine Sunder, right? It feels like you're playing, I don't know if it's another good example. You know what I mean? You know what I mean, though, right? Like,
I mean, Trinity Force a couple patches Dusk ago, right? Duskblade now. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you guys feel about that? Because my initial take is that people are smoking weed if they don't think old items are strong. that's my initial thing. Like, fucking Deathfire Grasp, fucking Elder Lizard, Wriggles. There's like a billion old items that have been fucked in the game. That being said, I do think that items probably have power creeped a little bit for other than like the standouts, but I've never understood that argument at all.
Well, I think it just feels bad when like this is a tough one for me because I think sometimes I feel that way and other times like absolutely not. I think that's ridiculous, right? There is something to be said when you press tab in a certain patch and, you know, 60% of the characters in the game are building Trinity Force or Duskblade or whatever. Like that feels like a little bad. And then I think those thoughts start to creep in. I also think like, I guess I'll save that for my last point as to why I think people are starting to feel this way. I think people do just look at current League with like so much criticism and hate, but look back on like with rose colored glasses and not reality, you know, staring back at them. It's really weird, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I just think there's so many strong old items, man. Fucking Zonia's ring used to be in the game. Well, mm-hmm. I fucking missed the name of it before. I said, Death Stance, but I meant to say, Deathfire Torch. What was it called? Like the grass.
Deathfire Grass, right?
Deathfire Grass. Yeah. Yeah. Did I say that? I might have said that before.
I think you did say it correctly. You did.
Yeah. Okay. So, it's like, fuck, those items are fucked, man. Those items are so crazy.
They were. And I think that, you know, they existed in a state where there are a couple items now, which I think face a somewhat similar issue to me. You know, Deathfire Grasp was such a huge issue, one, because it made characters that already had like a particular strength just like over the top in that strength, right? Where you go from like a LeBlanc who's in like a neutral game position being able to like deal 70% of your health in a combo to being able to do like 120% of your health, which is problematic. But I think the bigger issue with the item was that it turned certain characters into things that they should have like no reason to be able to exist, like AP Rengar. Like that shouldn't, I think, be possible for like an item to take a character that's an AD character and make their AP build good. And I think that there's a lot less of that these days, but there are still some items that I think, I don't want to say fundamentally change characters, but like shore up their what should be their weaknesses in such a wild way that I do think it's not good. And I think the biggest example, at least as I've been playing a lot of mid, has been Ravenous Hydra, where it turns characters who typically would have like minimal wave clear and not great sustain, and just like solves those two problems entirely. And you go from a character who'd normally like struggle to push waves into a character who can like cast one ability, full clear the wave, get a third of their health back, and then roam. And that is a very, very strong thing. Whereas a lot of other characters in that role, you know, they either kind of have that or they don't. Where like I think, you know, if you compared that to, let's say, Ludens, like you don't buy Ludens and then now you instantly one hit the entire wave with the Ludens proc. You don't, you know, top lane get a bomby Cinder and like, yeah, you can clear the wave eventually, but it's going to take you like 10 seconds. You don't just like walk into it and all the minions burn away and you go roam. And I think that there are some parity issues there, but not nearly as bad as some of like the outliers from the past, and definitely not something that can't be fixed.
It is funny, Colton, because I think I would feel like I also have kind of felt the same about Rav, because it feels like it is a gameplay warping item, right? It changes how your character functions, which feels like should be the goal of mythics. Like if Rav was a mythic, I probably would feel less gross about it doing that. We're not saying we should make it a mythic because we fucking just need more legendary items. Mm-hmm. But like, I think I'd feel better about the gameplay pattern of an item like Ravenous.
I think the biggest issue with like itemization in League in general is that there's just no like, it doesn't feel like there's enough of an opportunity cost for the items that you build, right? Like all of the items are too good, generally speaking. And I think actually that's the biggest issue with mage items, is that they do have opportunity cost. Associated
compared
with
to other roles.
Exactly, compared with other roles. And what I mean by that is like, if you buy Liandry's, right, you miss out on Luden, so you have to choose between like, okay, do I want Liandry's for the like the damage, or do I want it for the like Luden's for the magic pen? Okay, so then you make your choice. So then, wow, okay, they're starting to stack MR. Like, do I go Shadow Flame because they have like shields or squishy champions that I want to burst, or Void Staff? Okay, well, now I need to make the choice between like a Zhonya's because it's really good here, or a Banshee's or a Rabadon's. Like, they have opportunity costs associated with their itemization. Mm-hmm. Where I think like the most egregious of the example of this recently is Static Shiv. Right, an item that I really like. I think it's a great addition to the game, but I also can acknowledge that, like, on its own, it gives like pretty decent stats. So even if you rush it for the wave clear, which is how I imagine like Ravenous Hydra and Shiv should be, like, why they should be purchased, right? You're buying it for the wave clear aspect of it, so that way you can scale into other items, where it just turns into. I have this really like efficiently statted item that also happens to give me good wave clear. Like I don't have to lose out on feeling like I have a good item build going because I purchased the wave clear item. Mm-hmm. Like there's no downside to buying it.
Yeah, you get to shore up your weakness, plus you also just get a ton of really good stats that is comparable to any of the other items that didn't shore up that weakness.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest issue with, like, mage itemization. It's so caught, like, opportunity cost that it feels bad, as opposed to being, like, a good example of how itemization should work.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I just thought those were good discussion points. I think the way it was brought up in the video maybe is a little bit aggressive, but I think it's, like, good to talk about stuff like this, right? Like, it's also good not to be too sad about the game you play, especially if you like the game.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who posts anywhere, try not to say that League is dying or ruined or the worst it's ever been, challenge impossible. Like,
I just think it's so weird that, like, so many people are willing to, like, be that upset and then still play the game constantly all the time. Like,
yeah, it's not even like, okay, you still play the game with your friends, like, every once in a while. It's like, oh, this is your job and you play it all the time, and, like, or hey, this isn't even your job and you play it all the time.
Yeah, like, that was the whole, like, clip that I linked you, is like it talks about, like, the value proposition of, like, League, or, like, the what you get out of it and stuff like that, how it's pretty low. But it's also, like, the counterpoint is, like, life doesn't have to be all just, like, meaningful things. Like, you can just play some games with your friends and, like, have a good time, and that could lead to nothing other than just, like, something you did, and that's fine. It's just, like, fuck, man, if you just spend so many hours doing something that you don't enjoy, like, at some point, you're making a mistake, right?
Mm-hmm. You're just putting so much effort into something that you hate. Like, I don't know, like, realistically speaking, do we ever expect this podcast to, like, to go anywhere?
No.
Like, probably not.
My friends.
But yeah, like, it's fun to do. So, hey, we've done it for not 6 years, but 10 years now, and it's just a good time.
Yeah. Anyways, want to talk about Roundtable really quick?
I would love to.
Last week's question was, your two highest master champions are fused together. Their R's are replaced with a swap ability, a Kendo Elise. How good are they? From our Twitter, Chuda Padoa said, Heimer form defending turret, Yorick form pushing towers. A real degen of a character. Could you imagine, man, a Heimer, but he transforms into still pushing Yorick?
that's disgusting. Also, I find it hilarious how much he struggled with his Twitter handle of Chud Apatow, referencing the director Judd Apatow.
Yeah, no, I get that now. I just didn't read it like that.
Yeah.
Chud Apatow.
That's so funny.
Pards Bay said, I don't think Blitz or Thresh ultimate is essential in the kit. I think their single target pick potential with Thrit's Kresh is quite possibly the best in the game. Yeah, Blitzcrank Q into Thresh Q into... No, Blitzcrank Q into... Blitz knock up into Switch into Thresh Q into Thresh Flay, probably. Or maybe the other way around is better, but it's gross.
I mean, I think you probably Flay first, and then, like, if they try and walk away or flash, you hook again.
Yeah, yeah. Stacy said Morgana and Zyra. Depends on the windup. If the windup is together, then super great. Otherwise, super bad. Yeah, if you could combo, like, really, really quick, then it's probably pretty sick. If you can't, then it's probably pretty bad because you're playing two bad characters. And last but not least, but Loki said, Leona and Sona actually really amazing engage or reactive CC. I do like the idea of playing an enchanter, but you can also switch to an engage here. Actually, it's kind of sick. They probably should make a support like that. That'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. That honestly, like a Rel sort of thing would be cool.
Yeah.
You mean Rakan?
I mean, but, like, yeah, I guess Rakan does that without switching. But no, like a full enchanter that you switch like to and play one. Engage, that's kind of cool.
That's so cool. Yeah. It is. I think that would be an interesting thing to try.
Anyways, this week's question is, what does your summoner name mean? Would you ever consider changing it?
King Lardout, it was just a name that I put into the fucking RuneScape generator. And I guess I would consider changing it if I could get a guarantee that no one would take it, because it's has happened before and was very frustrating.
That's a really nice way of putting that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've talked about this on the show before, but, like, for me, Blue Basket was just, you know, I'm trying to think, I think I was like 13 or 14 at the time. It's like I tried coming up with a bunch of, like, edgy 14-year-old usernames. They were obviously all taken, you know, like Shadowblade or, you know, Death Dealer 99. And so I was like, all right, fuck it. Like, I'll just come up with, like, random adjective plus noun until it's not taken. And I ended up on Blue Basket and I've had it ever since. At this point, I definitely wouldn't change it. you know, it's something I've had for many, many years, and like there are people who like first knew me as that or have only ever known me as that, and like I just don't care about it enough to like change it to anything else. And like I enjoy like having, you know, a layer of separation, but still that recognizability of like, you know, of listeners to the game or just people I played with like years ago who it's like, oh, did we used to play together in season 2? I recognize your name. Like that is something that's really cool to me. So yeah, no, I probably will never change my main account name, but I certainly would go by other stuff on other accounts.
Mm-hmm.
I've changed mine a billion times.
yeah.
it started out as like basic stuff like Frost, or on like on Xbox I was I've changed it like a billion times on Xbox, but like at one point I was I think maybe I still am, I'm Mr. Swanky. Like just like a bunch of stuff. I think my whole idea of like what I like about account names is like I like making my friends laugh with them. like on fucking PUBG, I think my account name was like the Cum Cadet or something like that.
Yeah, it was. And it's like, don't say like something like that. Like you don't know exactly.
I don't
what
think
it is
anymore. Is what I mean. Like, I think like flagged cum.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like coming up with account names. I like making stuff like fun. I like having different ones. There's definitely ones that I like more than other ones. Like there's account names I will keep on League on Smurfs. Like I used to have them on my main account, and then I'll switch them and then shuffle them through my account so I still have them because I like them so much. but I just like having fun stuff. I've started like my new favorite for thing for account names is just like really non-standard kind of goofy sounding names. like I don't know, it's just like anything like that would make my friends laugh makes me happy, so that's kind of mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think juice. You also just have like so much more ability to do that if you're not attached to anyone, which like yeah. You really were, and the one that you did have was like common enough that it wasn't like clearly you, right? Where it's like,
yeah, I'm not getting Frost on everything, right?
Yeah,
I also like celebrity names as account names. I think that's also like really funny.
It is pretty funny.
I had Owen Wilson. I currently have Allison Brie. I don't know. I would love having just all my Smurfs as like celebrity names.
Yeah,
it's so funny. Cool. I think we're going to save the emails for next week. We're already running a little long. So if you sent us an email, we'll get it to us then.
Nathan, Chonky Monkey, Citrus Melons, Large Dad.
And Alan. But we did get your email. So thank you guys for listening. I guess I should do the other stuff first. You're going to send us an email, mail@leakcastpodcast.com. Watch us on Twitch, twitch.tv/KingLardBlueBasketLeakCastFrost. Tweet at us at LeagueCast. Facebook is LeagueCast. Visit our website, LeagueCastPodcast.com. Join our Discord server, discord.gg/LeagueCast. And support us on Patreon, patreon.com/LeagueCast. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.